Shabbos Mesos Libeinu. So the keynote is based on the last few psukim in the in Echa. Shabbos Mesos. Shabbos Mesos Libeinu. Next from the Shabbos, he expands on it. So the question is, I mean, how does it fit into the pasuk? Shabbos Mesos Libeinu means that the joy of our hearts rested. Was put to rest. Nepach le'evo mecholenu, and their joy was converted to velus, to mourning. So he expands on that. So let's see if we could see how the expansion ties into the meaning of the pasuk. Okay. It's the shavas b'zam side. It's pasuk tesvav and the le'en hay. So let's see the elements he has. Surumeni Shimuni Ochrai means the ones that exiled us said, get away from us, turn away. So it means that they had no, there was absolutely no respect for us. Sriyamos Hasimuni Be'eri Chaverai. Sriyamos means that's just the opposite of sura. Sura many means just go away and you're worthless. But sriyamos is a positive thing. They're saying that we're like filth. So that's the truth of the matter is that there's both. That there's the insult of non-recognition. But then also, there is the hatred of the Jew, which is based on an inner recognition, which causes a reaction to the opposite. So for some people, it's surumeni. They simply, they don't recognize the Jew because of his downfall. For others, it's the schiumos. Those are the ones that have the hatred, which is based on an inner recognition. Like the anti-Semitism, which is based on an inner recognition of the Jew, because they make crazy claims about him, that international conspiracy and all kinds of wild claims, which recognize the superiority of the Jew. So the schiumos is a reaction against that superiority. So far he has two elements: suru meni shemuni ochrai. One is that the guy. The anti-Semite doesn't recognize the Jew, fails to recognize him. That's one level. Another level is the schiumos, the one who's fighting his own inner recognition of the Jew, so he has to make him despicable. He has to go to the opposite to make him despicable. Okay, so that's the two forms of the hatred of the Jew. So
this only happened after or during the time of the destruction.
Oh, yes, that's correct. That's after the destruction, so then the expression can take place. When the Jew is high, is esteemed, so then they can't do that. Okay. So then he says, Sakosa Mishkan Mischos Dvirai, that you covered over the Mishkan, in other words, the Chazal say that there's two mikdashos. There's a mikdash in the Shemayim, and then there's a mikdash al aretz. And the mikdash al aretz is mechuvan kineged the mikdash al mailo. Mikdash al mato is mechuvan kineged the mikdash al mailo. So he says that God covered over the mikdash al mailo. He moved it away, so to speak. So it won't be parallel, it won't be in a position to relate to the Migdash al Mata. So that seems to be like a totally different idea. Then he says, Sakosa, by doing that, by covering over the Migdash, so So Huvlgu Giborai. So the Giborim were lost. Safku Chaf Umadu Avarai. That the enemy clapped their hands and we lost our strength. We lost our strength. Our limbs faltered. It means we didn't have any courage. Kesila Chalabirai. And that's why all the strong ones were trampled. So let's try to put it together. I mean, what's the relationship between these things and between the Pasuk of Shas? Okay. The Pasuk says Shavas. Shavas Mesos Libeno, Nepach Levo Mecholeno. Nepach Levo Mecholeno. Yeah. So the Mesos Libeno, you see, his emphasis, he has Sakosa twice. His emphasis is on the idea that God took away the Mikdash Shalmaila from relating to the Mikdash Shalmata. And basically, that was the cause. That's the essence. So that's why it was Shavas Mesos Libeno. Of course, Shavas Mesos Libeno is on many levels. There was a certain enjoyment, the social enjoyment as a nation that the Jew enjoyed because of his respect that he received among the other nations. That's one thing. But another thing is that the respect that the Jew received wasn't just, of course, he could enjoy it personally. I mean, that was a purpose also. He should enjoy it personally. You see, he says, Edrei Chaverai, so they were Chaverim. The Jews felt towards certain nations very close, like David HaMelech felt, and Shlomo HaMelech, the allies. So there was a camaraderie, and there was a certain enjoyment of Chaverschaft, of friendliness. And that was taken away, so that removes a certain social enjoyment. But there's something else also, and that is that insofar as we have the respect of the Goyim, that's how we can accomplish our mission with the Amkoin of Goy Kadosh. Because if we don't have the respect, so then there's no objective in our mission. The mission is impossible. So therefore, the Mikdash, which is the vehicle of the mission, becomes obsolete. So there's two levels upon which the Shavas Mesos Libeno. There's a Mesos Libeno, which is a Mesos Libeno from the social enjoyment, the status, the enjoyment. That's a human, natural human enjoyment that a person enjoys, a position, it's a recognition, a kind word, a good word. A person enjoys that socially. As a nation, the nation also enjoys it. So that was lost. Shavas Mesos Libeno, that Mesos was lost. And there's another Mesos that was lost. The Mesos that we feel satisfaction in the sense that we're able to accomplish our mission, our objective in our existence, which is Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. So once the enemy acts in the anti-Semitic way towards us, either by ignoring us or worse, by feeling necessary to put us down and to abuse us and to demean us, and so far as the enemy feels that way, so both objectives are lost. Both objectives are lost. Of course, the main objective is really the objective of the Kiddush Hashem. But it doesn't take away from the fact that the brachos are also brachos for the physical as well. Because a person who enjoys himself physically and psychologically is a person that can function properly. So both were lost. But now I believe he gets into the heart of why it was lost. Because Sakosa, Mishkan Mischos Devirai, that you covered over the Mishkan, means the Mikdash Bashamayim, from the Mikdash, which is from the Mikdash, that Mikdash can't see, is not aligned properly with the Mikdash on the Eretz. So that is the cause. So what is the meaning of that? The Mikdash Neshamayim and connect those in Mikdash, connect the Mikdash of, that we have in Yerushalayim, is a Mikdash in the Shemayim. And God covered that over. So it shouldn't be aligned properly. And that's the cause. That's the reason. So it seems to me that the Mikdash in the Shemayim, what is a Mikdash in the Shemayim? The Mikdash in the Shemayim means really the base on Mikdash is really, as the Midrashim say, Chazal say, the base on Mikdash is really the reflection of the entire universe. Vasili Mikdash Shechanti Besochon. So Chazal say that the Psukim say that Yam HaShemayim Shmei HaShemayim Lo Yechal Kalucho, the office of bias is there. So the bias is simply a concession in order that man should be able to realize the Borei Olam. So the real Mikdash is really the Mikdash B'Shamayim. That's the real Mikdash. So it means from the Mikdash Ala Oretz, we should come to know the Mikdash HaShemayim. That's why, in order to build a Mishkan, so it was necessary for Bezalel to know there. Bezalel call Osios Shebahemoyim Mitzarif. Mitzarif Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shemayim Varetz. He had to know Maisa Bereishis. So it means that, of course, in the Maisa Bereishis, one recognizes that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. That's the real Mikdash. That's the real Mikdash. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept hidden from us. He hid from us the true ideas of the Mikdash. So then the Mikdash was just looked at as a physical object. And it lost its Kedusha. The Kedusha of Mikdash is only there if it is related to the Mikdash Shalmaila, which means it's related to Chachmas Hashem and Chachmas Abriya and Maisa Bereishis. So insofar as that is concerned, then the Mikdash Shalmata becomes a Mikdash Shalmaila. It's a different Mikdash. It's a different kind of Mikdash. But once it becomes unrelated to the Mikdash Shalmaila, it simply loses its soul, its essence. And then it's just a physical object. And that's why it can't exist. So he's explaining. So the Mesos Libenu really was another concept. Mesos Libenu. Mesos Libenu means the Mesos of the knowledge of the idea of the Chachmas Hashem. That's the greatest enjoyment. That's the greatest Mesos. So Shavas Mesos Libenu is on three levels. It's on a level of Mesos, which is the social level. Psychological level, which a person is entitled and to enjoy, and it's a little part of the brachos. It's also on a level where the person feels that his purpose and his objective is thwarted, and where he feels that his objective is obtained, he feels a great satisfaction in masos. But he ties that into the other masos, the masos of chachma, of the idea, of Yedias Hashem, and the recognition that the Mikdash is just there to reflect greater ideas, to reflect the Osios Shevahem Nitzvah Shemayim V'Aretz. And once that was lost, once that was gone, so then the whole Mikdash lost everything. It lost its whole shine. It lost its whole Naflat Ataras Hashenu. The Atara was lost. That's the Atara. So the Mesos he takes in three ways. Safku, then he says, Safku chaf u'mardu evorai. So the enemy just had to clap their hands and my courage was gone. Because the person was taken away from the three elements of the masos. And once he didn't have that masos anymore, he didn't have any strength to stand. So mardu evorai. It means that their limbs faltered, that they couldn't stand. They didn't have any courage anymore. Because what gives a person courage is the muscles. The muscles is his essence and his strength. And once all the three levels were lost, So Asaf Kuchaf Umardu Evarai. Kesila Chalabirai. Then all the strong ones were trampled. Okay, any questions? Yes.
Is there an objective factor between those who ignore the Jew versus those who actively put them down and provide them?
That's a good question.
Without understanding what the Beis HaMikdash Mila represented, the one that's up in heaven or whatever it is in this Kedushamayan, then can we properly mourn for the Beis HaMikdash? Because we don't really understand what its Kedusha was in the first place.
What?
We never really understood what that basin, that connection was between the Beis HaMikdash that was down here and the Beis HaMikdash that was up there. We never really understood that connection, and how could we possibly mourn for Beis HaMikdash? We never really understood its Kedusha.
But now we know the connection.
What are you saying?
Now we know the connection.
You know what that connection was?
We know. Oh, you mean the details?
Yeah.
No, the details we don't have to know. We just have to know the concept, the idea, that the Mikdash is tied to it. It helps you because it tells you what the subject matter is about and what the, even though you don't know the details, but you know what it is. I mean, it's part of Torah. I mean, even though we don't know Ma'aseh Merkava, doesn't mean that the knowledge that there is a Ma'aseh Merkava doesn't help us. Or that there is a Ma'aseh Bereishis. So that is also knowledge. It gives you a direction. There's a direction. Once you have Ma'aseh Bereishis, there's a direction there. So there is some concept there. And that concept raises a person to a higher level, even though he's not on the level to understand the details of my subversions. Yeah, Reuven, what was your question?
The difference between those who just ignore versus those who actively put down in the right.
I would say that the Ochrei, or Ovrei, depends on the gear set, that the ones that have the intrinsic hatred, the ones that have the intrinsic hatred, they have to do Schiumos. The ones that have the intrinsic hatred, because you see, the Jew disturbs them. The idea of the Jew disturbs them, and that causes a sinner. Because of his unique philosophy, essentially his abolition of Avodah Zarah, he and Yichud Hashem. Those ideas are ideas that, however much they know about them, but they're very disturbing. So it disturbs the world's rest. So, and that's the essence of Yadus. So there are two groups. There are people that despise it because it pains them, it causes them pain. Because it goes against their whole mahus, their whole essence of their belief system. And then there are people that are sort of like they're not there. They're looking for Klal Yisrael. They have their doubts about it, but they're wavering. They're wavering, but they don't have the hatred. So Klal Yisrael has more success, of course, with those. It's hard to tell, though, because sometimes a person can throw off his hatred, and on the contrary, because he sees his hatred as nonsensical, it can go the other way. But the Klal Yisrael really influences the people, and that's the purpose of the Mikdash, to influence the people that are in doubt. They're not sure, they're wavering. So they, if they're wavering, and then they see that we lose, so then they become Ovrei. The ones that they simply look at us in a neutral fashion, like we're nothing. So it's two different people. But the Mikdash really served the benefit of putting both of them in their proper place. The ones that were the haters, because the Mikdash was successful, and it was Mesosa, was a covenant of Mikdash, and the Gaon Uzeinu, and the other ones also brought them close to the Mikdash, gave them recognition. Like Shlomo says, the guy came from Eretz Rechoka. But he's not going to come from Eretz Rechoka if he sees that that there's no cover for Klal Yisrael, there's no cover for the Mikdash, the Mikdash is destroyed, he loses his whole appetite for it. And then he goes back to his old way of thinking. So one is really a Sone Yisrael. The other one, I would say, is a person that's that the Mikdash was there to reach that person. But then he becomes a Sone. Different kind of Sone.
Sakosa that God, so to speak, blocked the connection between the Midah Shamayla and Shamata. Was that was Hashgacha, or that was just we weren't at the level to perceive that knowledge?
It seems he's saying it was Hashgacha. Seems saying it was Hashgacha.
Really, it would have been difficult to understand that. But.
That in order to have knowledge, a person has to have the Hashgacha on his side to help him, to pave the road, to make certain things available to him. And over here, it was just the opposite. That the all the opportunities were closed off. Were closed off. That's the way he's learning. No, they ignore the Jew. They just look aside.
They just don't know anything about it.
Right. They just don't give him any respect. They, it's as if he's nothing. Nothing to reckon with. He's nothing to reckon with. Like a loser. Nafla Teres Roshenu. It means the. Why is the Mikdash the Atara? As we said before, because the Atara is really the Chachma. So the Mikdash really was the vehicle which showed the Chachma of Klal Yisrael. Teres Roshenu. Nafla Odenu. So the Mikdash fell Betzul Dechuya. Betzul Dechuya means in watery depths. So what does it mean? It means that there's a different types of mapolas. There's a mapola where a person can sense that the mapola is transitory, but there's a mapola where you can sense that this is really it. This is not going to, we're not going to overcome this. It's the mapola is too great. So the mapola of the Mikdash, with all its ramifications, signaled, gave us one interpretation that it's not coming back soon. It's not coming back soon. It is gone. Eini chikso lachazon ben berechia. So he says, my eye looked forward, waited to the chazon of Zechariah ben berechia. So, what's the continuity? It means that it was so gone, so far gone, that he knew that the appearance of it was that it can never come back. That it can never come back. So, then the moment that he thought about it would never come back, so then he eased himself, he comforted himself, he looked forward to the nevuah of Zechariah, which means that the only way it will come back is through a Maisa Hashem of the Nevuah. But in according to natural law, it won't come back anymore. In terms of natural law, it's Betzul Dechuya. So, Eini Chikso L'Chazon Ben Berechia, that was the only way. He recognizes the tragedy was so great that the only way that it can come back is through a Nes, is through a special Hashgacha. So, which required the chazon, which required the nevuah, because without nevuah, you could never politically see it. Politically, it wouldn't make any sense. Ad pile gilgol chavuya. But he says, but it is hidden, chavuya, it is hidden, until we see miracles like Gilgal. Because in Gilgal, it's mentioned that the that the Jews were successful in Gilgal with miraculous wars against their enemies. So he says that until we see miraculous things happening, it is chavuya, it is hidden. It means that this is a continuation. It shows you that the first pasuk we learn properly. It means that Betzul Dechuya means that according to all natural law and the way we see it, it's gone. So that's why you need Nevuah. And even Nevuah, the Nevuah is hidden until we see the miracles. You can't really believe the Nevuah until you start seeing it unravel and see the miracles. Because it is so far gone. Eini ma'oleles b'yavonis nechuya. My eye cries because of the Vanas Nechuya. So he brings out the that some want to say it means it's a reference to the fact that they learned Chachmas Yavanis. They learned Chachmas Yavanis. That was the cause. So it's a double entendre, any levels bivanas nachuya, which means a certain type of mud, but it also means, it's also a reference to the fact that the Jews sinned and learned Chachmas Yavanis. What is Chachmas Yavanis? Chachmas Yavanis is really the Chachma of the Greeks of literature. It's not the Chachma of the Greeks of mathematics and physics, because that Chachma is a great Chachma, it's Chachmas Hashem, it's nice and gracious. That's part of it. That's my submission insofar as man is can unravel it, or starts to unravel it. That's where it started. So, the Chachmas Yavanis is really the draw to literature, to the arts. So the draw to the arts and literature is really the beginning of the way Chazal, the Pasuk you shouldn't turn towards the Alilim. So Chazal interpret that to mean literature. Because literature and the arts is what starts drawing the person's emotions. And once the emotions are drawn, so then the person's ripe for a relationship with a false god, which is based on certain emotional appeal. So he's saying over here, Einim olelos b'yavonis nechuya, that this is the cause of the downfall. Just like before, he had the cause. Sakosa mishkan miskos devirai. Over here, he has the cause also. Einim olelos b'yavonis nechuya. That it was going after the arts and the literature that caused my eye to not be able to see the Yeshua. Now he says, Osa v'nicham v'yikra l'vchiyah. Unfortunately, I don't have my old kinnis here. But what is Osa, where is Osa v'nicham? Does he mention over there? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nicham. Does anybody have one in Pirish? What is that? And it's an Echa Rabba. Ba'osa Shoah, do we have an Echa Rabba here? Ba'yakash Baruch Baruch Hu Ma'ayli Me'asisi. Ba'lashon Hashem Yishayah, Ba'yikah Ba'yim Hu Levchi Ha'mispeh. Yeah, so how do we interpret that? So what does it mean that God was v'nicham v'yikra l'vchiyah? It means like this. It means that the destruction was so powerful that there's no way back. There's no way back. So on the one hand, you have the Chazon ben Berechia, which tells you, assures you, and gives you comfort that there is a way back. But on the other hand, when we say there's no way back, there has to be that's a rational thing also. That there's no way for us to get back in terms of ourselves, in terms of the situation of Klal Yisrael. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Kinos, Vayikra Levechiyo, so he gave us the way back. He gave us the way back. The way back is to be Bocha on what happened. So to speak, Osa Vanicha means the destruction was really supposed to be complete. So in so far as that's in that sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a way back through Kinos. And the way back through Kinos means Nicham. Nicham means Leinochem Hashem Al Ra, means that really the Gzera should have been total destruction. That's what we deserved. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of Midas HaRachman, Midas HaChesed, So that's really what the Chinuch says. That whenever that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do any evil, but he simply removes himself. And it's an open medrash. It's really very interesting. It's very interesting. Even though the Pesukim HaMashma that the Darach HaKashto Ka'ayev, right, Tavachta Lo Chamolta, but it doesn't mean it literally. It doesn't mean it that way. It's just an expression. It's just an expression. But the... it's an expression in the pasuk. That's what the Rambam says. Many things that are written in pesukim you can't repeat. Only in the pesukim, because the pesukim has a special meaning. But the reason why it has that meaning there is because the part of the kinos is to go through the bechi and the loss. In our terms, in human terms. That's because you can't do it. A person can just say that we were chotem and we deserve it. There's nothing more to say. I mean, that's it. It's just tzedek adin. But kinos is not tzedek adin. Kinos has tzedek adin, but kinos really is a lamentation for our state of mind that we were thrown into with our limited knowledge of the way we look at it. So Dorach Kashto Ka'ev is the effect it has on us. The effect it has on us. Nitzav Yimino Kitzar. So, of course, in metaphysically that's not true. But that's the way we feel it. And that's part of the Onesh, that man is a human being, has human nature, and this is the way he senses it. So the mitzvah of Kinos is to go over it the way that we experience it. That's the mitzvah. And through that, simultaneously recognizing, it's a double expression. Simultaneously recognizing the objective, that it's because of chait, that's why everyone has a tzedakah in. But at the same time, to express the state that we were thrown into emotionally, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How we were distanced from him in terms of our. In terms of our understanding and our feelings, and our essence, and that's really the benefit of kinos. You found it?
Yeah, I think so. Those are tough. Let's head it.
Over and over again in Eicha, it says that we call out and God refuses to hear us. He doesn't hear our cry. He shuts us off. He doesn't hear our cry from the pit. So how are we supposed to deal with that? In other words, how are we supposed to... Our only salvation is in the Kodesh Baruch Hu and going back to Him, but yet He cuts out all of our tefillos. The tefillos are not heard. So how are you supposed to deal with that?
Hold on one second. It's a very big medrash. But it says, long medrash, with the avos, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it says, Kivin Shirosam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Minyav Ha'ib Hashem Al-Kim Tzvakas B'yam Al-Levchi L'Mispeid U'L'Korachov L'Chag R'Sak. So that was the remedy. The remedy was the kinos. That's the remedy. Okay. Let's see. Who won't get a medrash?
Explain again how that works.
So how the remedy works?
No, okay. It's our perception, but it's not really the right perception.
Right, but it's what we suffer. It's what we suffer. We suffer the perception of the loss of the Mikdash in our own terms. And even though we know philosophically and metaphysically it's different, but we suffer in our own terms. So the bechi is to go over the, and that's part of the onesh, that we're thrown into this state because we don't have the real knowledge, so we're thrown into this state, and therefore we suffer because of that in the way we do. So going over the suffering is the first step on the road to the road back, because first of all it shows you that if you go over the suffering, it means that you're still tied to it, still tied to the Mikdash. But also, I think maybe he's trying to say a deeper word over here. Eini ma'olos b'yavonis nechuyah. That also v'nicham v'yikra l'vchiyah. That the yavonis, going after the arts, and going after the literature, and the aesthetics of the literature, and the aesthetics of the arts, that is what prevents us from seeing the real truth. And that's why we're removed from the Chachma, and therefore we suffer in our loss in a different way, not the perfect way. In other words, we suffer in the way that we don't really see the true, clear idea, but we suffer the certain effects, human effects, because we went into those areas and became influenced by those areas. So we were removed from Chachma, so that's why we have that Bechi. But the Bechi counteracts the Avera of being involved in the aesthetic. The Bechi is the opposite of the aesthetic. So that's why it's Mechaper for the aesthetic. Okay?
Is that an explanation for Gemara that anyone who cries, if you cry over the loss, you'll be Zohar to see it built?
Right. Zohar Rowan, right. That's right. Yes.
The first half of this piece that you just said there's really no way out, and the only way is through the Ruach. But the second half, you are giving a way out through the Bechi.
Yeah, that's right. But he's going step by step. In other words, he's going. He's going.
What? You're going through his thought process.
He's going through what?
You think he's going through what goes on in his mind? First, he thinks that there's no hope.
He's not going to be a natural thing. There's a reason.
Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megalatos the road, that's the way it was. And until that point.
But the Bechi doesn't give a person a perception of what that's more of a way out of the response from that. It's a different concept.
That what?
Well, in the beginning it's saying that, you know, a person sees that after the Qurban, so the perception was is that the loss was something that was unrecoverable for. One couldn't even relate to the nebulos of a gula.
Right.
That there was no way a person could even have a sense that there would be a salvation. The Bechi doesn't resolve that issue, but the Bechi provides a way in which a person can achieve salvation through Hashbacha.
Right.
It's a totally different concept.
That's correct.
So there's no contradiction between the first part and the latter part.
There's no contradiction, right, that's correct.
How do you understand the pasuk "Lechachu yaskiru zosu v'inlach yirusam v'yichiru zot echadel v'shnayim v'anusu"? That sounds like it's actually Hashem saying, you're supposed to be saying that this is Hashgacha that you're being punished. Because how else could they be so successful in your persecution?
Right.
Echa yirdof echad elef ushnayim yanisu rebava. Imlo kitzuram macharam v'Hashem askiram.
So you're asking me what?
So you said earlier that's just a perception that the person has. That's not really what's occurring. It's not
right.
That Hashem is actually doing much that they should be
right.
Able to receive these punishments.
That's correct. He just removes himself.
Yeah, but the pasuk seems to be saying just the opposite, that the nature of the punishment is so miraculous that it couldn't naturally happen.
But isn't that the quote what others will say?
Excuse me?
Isn't that what others would say?
No, I don't know. It says, Kigoy Obat Eitos Nehemoth, Eimah
Hachimimah. Oh, they. In other words, their perception.
The Song of Day is well.
Right.
They should realize this is the punishment that's coming from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Because how else could such a thing occur?
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily mean how it's happening. In other words, given the level that they're on, and the hashgacha that they have, the only way that this could happen is if God removes himself. But it's perceived that way. In other words, it's perceived the way. In other words, they're saying luchach mu'yaskilu zos. In other words, that should be their perception.
Because earlier it says v'yomer astir fanai mehem yirei
ma. That's exactly astir fanai mehem.
So these are not different steps. You're saying it's.
It's but their perception should be that it's impossible unless that's as a matter of fact that's what the Rambam said kitzur maharam. So then for man perceives it that way. So they should have at least perceived it that there's something strange going on, not necessarily. It's not the metaphysical mechanics that they're perceiving, but it's the effect on them.
Could you speak a little bit more specifically as to what you're referring to when you're saying that the arts and literature are such a dangerous, such a damaging influence? What exactly are you referring to? Are you talking about reading Shakespeare? I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Right. I'm talking about reading literature, because in literature the characters are based upon the imagination of the author and the values of the author. But he doesn't prove his point. He doesn't prove it philosophically. He just knows how to embellish it and to make it attractive, so you're attracted to the character. You think that what he's saying is right. You're more attracted to the idea by the embellishment and the aesthetics of the system. That's what it is, basically. That's why it's attractive. You don't have to be a chacham to read a novel, and to be moved by the characters of the novel. But if you were put to a test and say, why were you moved by this character? You tell me logically why you think this character was just. You'd be hard put to answer it.
That's part of it, but also in literature, the author has the opportunity to develop things or develop conflicts, that could evoke in the person contemplation of ideas that the person might not have thought about.
Well, Lenin is saying if you're doing love and lahaskil, love and lahaskil is mutter, but not to be drawn into it.
I see.
But that's Allah. Love and lahaskil is mutter.
Remy?
Yes.
Why are you compelled to say Sarva Oye his own has to punish? Why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu be Nenesh Klal Yisrael for their sins? And it actually is Sarva Oye, that the reason why the enemies, why 6 million were killed is because it's not normal events that would have happened. It was all in Hashgacha of Hashem.
No, because that's what the Chinuch says, makes it clear. You're not allowed to say that. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything bad. Mipi Elyon Lasetze Arava Tov.
So onish is only just removal of hashgacha?
Onish is just removal of hashgacha, right.
So Sodom was just removal.
Is that on an individual level as well?
What?
Sodom was removal of hashgacha so that things don't fall from heaven?
That's positive hashgacha.
But Sodom was also positive hashgacha because it would have destroyed Klal Yisrael. That was definitely an act of God, but it was to prevent Klal Yisrael from being destroyed.
What would be so bad about saying that a punishment to Klal Yisrael is also a struggle?
This is destruction.
But it's for a good reason, because we lost the essence.
We had something, and we threw it away.
There's not a method of returning.
The loss cannot be undone. In other words, had we lived properly, it would have been a whole different centuries. Would have been completely different. Would have had a whole different life. We're in a different life now. This was our loss. Because the Torah gives you an opportunity, and also it gives you, unfortunately, there's another side to Bala Bashur, that if you turn away from it, so then it has negative effects, and those effects are natural effects. It's not really so much an onish, it's as a removal of Estepanim, Manochi Aster Estepanai. That's not Hashem Oev Yochiach. Kikashe Yasser Ishes Benor Hashem Lekechem Yasreko is a certain thing, but that's Yisurim. That's not Petzul Dechuya. That's not Petzul Dechuya. Petzul Dechuya is a different thing.
Isn't the Chinuch by Metzora, by
Tzaras? The Chinuch.
Isn't he talking about by
Tzaras? He was talking about everything.
Where is that Chinuch?
I thought it was on
Tzaras,
right?
Not only Tzaras. No, he says in general.
Right, but wasn't it, that's where he started?
That's where he mentioned it.
Okay.
Because look, it's Saras, it seems to be, it is.
And now Nash.
What's that?
It is Asher Yavamah.
I don't know. I got to take a look.
But I mean, how do you explain Saras? In other words,
it's
removal of
Ashkafa. Saras, you mean, is like an Onish.
Yeah.
I know. I got to take a look at that association, Saras. Not that
way. Your idea of Estepan.
But that's what he says is a general principle. That according, and then he brings a raya from Devarim, where it says, "Vanochi haster astepone bayamahu." So you see, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is astepone. He doesn't do anything bad. If he gives a person an onish because leish kasha yaserish espano, that's not bad. That's eis hasher Hashem oev yochiach. So that's a special thing. That's a completely different thing.
You mean on the personal level, an onish, it's not just astepone. There's an onish for man's benefit.
Depends.
Yeah, no, but it could be an onish for
his benefit. Couldn't be an
onish for
his benefit.
Right.
Where's that chinuch
benefit?
You referred to? In Mitzorah.
I think so.
I think so. I'm not sure.
So an onish could be either one then.
What?
You can't tell if an onish is because it's test upon him, or it's an onish because it's to help the person get better.
And that's correct. Can't tell. I mean, if it's devastating, then it's a. That's why it says Dover Melech has one thing. It says Lo Sazo Nafshi L'Shol. Shol means that there's complete devastation.
So you're saying Korban Bias can't be that type of onish, that it's done for our benefit.
No, it's not done. Not done.
So we should be. Okay. So we have a responsive close of B'Tshuva.
What? No. It's not done for our benefit to destroy the Mikdash and we should be close B'Tshuva. That doesn't make sense.
Well, because we don't deserve it.
That's not a benefit. You lost the whole Mikdash, which is half of the Torah.
But you're saying, though, if this has to upon him, then not necessarily the Mikdash would have been destroyed. I mean, we could have been victorious. I mean, in natural strength. It just goes by the natural law, you're saying. And we would have discovered in time of bomb, we could have, the Mikdash could have been. Or if now, I mean, you're saying it's beyond just the natural, it only goes to natural events.
Right, but the only thing is, as ever, the natural event is that we're not going to make it. Because the natural event is, since we have this hatred of the Umos, because of what we embraced, and therefore all the nations are against us, so we don't have a chance.
Jew needs hashgacha to survive.
The Jew needs hashgacha to survive. Without hashgacha, he's in a bad predicament. Like somebody pointed out to me this morning, the Rashi says on Echa, Rashi says on Shomu Kineh Nocha Ani. Shamu Kine Nocha Ani. It's an Aleph Shin. It's Chaf Aleph. Kiato Asisa. Kiato Asisa. Ata Garantali Shehem Sonamasi. You caused them to hate me. Shehidaltani mi maicholom u mi mishteyem. You separated me from the reading, from the drinking, and the eschatein bom. So in this hatanti bohem, I am rachmim alive. Al bona al bnei ben oseyem. So you made me separate and you made me hate it. So that's why when the Kadosh Baruch Hu is master upon him, so the Jew doesn't have any chance. Yeah. But do we answer Mark? Do we answer your question, please? What was the question again?
Well, no, the contradiction. I think Rabbi Fox answered it.
Oh, okay. From Naflo Deno. Yeah. That's right. There's one thing to talk about the situation. Another thing to talk about that Akash Baruch gave you a way back, a slim rope to climb back. And that's the Bechiyah.
So when Esther Punim takes place and it says the Akash Baruch does not hear our tefillah. Our tefillah is shut out, Echa said. We cry.
Sosan tefillah, yeah.
Yeah, we cry out from the pit and he doesn't hear us. So in other words, so now what do you do? Our only way out is Kina and tefillah, and he's not hearing. Now, so what do you do?
No, it doesn't mean that the... when it says he doesn't want to hear the tefillahs, it means he's not shamea to the particular, he doesn't answer the tefillahs. But he knows that you're being mispalled. Otherwise, what would be the purpose of davening? I mean, today we daven b'taras sasam tefillasi. So you know that he knows that we're being mispalled, but he doesn't answer the tefillah. You're not roy to have the tefillah answer. But still, the Maisa Tefillah is there.
So we always have the Maisa Tefillah.
Yes.
Really? How is Kinos the way back?
Because Kinos is the sadness over the loss of the Mikdash. So it's expressed in our own terms. And it's a recognition of the loss. And the recognition of the loss causes a person, there's a beginning that causes a person to think into what it was and then to arrive at the true ideas and to be zocha to the Mikdash. Shabbachi
is never closed.
Shabbachi is never closed, yeah. It means Shabbachi. Shabbachi means it invokes the Hashgacha.
It's different in Tefillah.
Different
in
Tefillah.
Really focusing on the extent of the loss.
That's right.
It has to precede any type of... Tula already presumes that you already understand what you're being followed for.
That's right. That's right. But even to perceive it in your own terms, the loss, however you perceive it, that's the way you have to express it. Okay, so he did two. First one, he got the... loss of Masos, and the second one is, and how does the second one tie to Nafla Teres Roshenu? It's interesting, he says, he concludes, says, V'nomal Eila Nevochia. Well, I'll leave it here. The normal ela. What does he mean by the normal ela nivachia? This one, this thing is terrible. This mashmoyus is. Baruch Hu is Baruch Hu. What?
I think that's what he's trying to say.
That's what he's trying to say, right? That's what he's trying to say. The normal level of Kaviyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baruch Hu. So what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baruch Hu? What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baruch Hu? I think that's what he's saying. I don't have a good pirush. Right, Vayikra Levchiyah means for everybody. The norm, Alela Nibachiyah. It sounds like that. Does it quote the pasuk?
The Rav Harkadim on this piece talks, it means a Kadosh Baruch
Hu. On this piece. It's much more like that.
Yeah.
It's much more like that.
He says the Kiddush Gadol, that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu who's spoken.
Yeah, okay. Very good. I mean, it's much more, that's what he's saying. So what does it mean? I mean, what could it mean in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Baruch Hu? It's like that. Imo Anochi Vatzara. Imo Anochi Vatzara. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu is with Klal Yisrael in the Tzara. That's the whole Hashanus. Hashan l'mancho l'ken Hashanah. So it's Imo Anochi v'tzara. So what does it mean, Imo Anochi v'tzara? Right. Imo Anochi B'Tzara means that the Ashgacha doesn't remove itself from the Tzara. The Ashgacha doesn't remove itself from the Tzara. So in the Bechi of Klal Yisrael, there is no Hest upon him. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Klal Yisrael in the Bechi. So the Bechi is a restoration of the Ashgacha. So that's why the kinnis, that's the significance, that's what he's bringing out, the last point in the kinnis. Not just that it's a way for us to return by starting with the way we perceive the har har of the churban, but also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is away lo nivachiyah, imo anochi v'tzara. So it means it's the return of the Ashgacha returns through the kinnis. That's his last statement.
Right.
That's a different idea. That's Kiyata Imadi. That's because he has the knowledge of God and he doesn't have any fear. But here this is saying that the Ashkacha itself is involved, which means that Imo Anochi V'Tzara insofar as the Bechi is concerned. So the Ashkacha is involved. So that is a very important thing. That means the Ashgacha returns. So the Ashgacha, where is the Ashgacha b'zman hazeh? The Ashgacha b'zman hazeh is in the Bechi and HaMikdash. In the Bechi and HaMikdash. That's where the Ashgacha is. That's why you have Tikkun Chatzos, but it's a very big thing. I mean, we're not Roya for that, but I mean, that's why big tzaddikim were involved in Tikkun Chatzos and Bechi and HaMikdash. Because that's the way the Ashgacha is. The Ashgacha is, insofar as Klal Yisrael is involved in Kinos.
That's the end of Eicha, right?
Right. Right. So that's what he's saying. It's beautiful the way he worked it out. Okay, want to say a little more Kinos? By the way, I would say also one more thing that he's interpreting Nafla Teres Rosheinu, right?
Yeah.
Teres Rosheinu. So that's the Atara is the whole Chachma, the splendor of the Mikdash. And Oino Lonu Kichotanu. And that's what he's explaining, because they went to the Chachma Sivanis. So they lost the Atara, which is really the Chachma, and they went to the Chachma Sivanis, and that's why they lost the Mikdash.
Rabbi?
Yes.
What does it mean that Dashkaf exists through the Bechi?
It means insofar as there are Jews that are Bochal HaMikdash and are involved in Bechi V'nei, that's how much Hashkacha we have. In other words, therein lies the Hashkacha.
You're talking about
year round, yeah. Sorry. But Tish B'Av is really year round. I mean, you certainly see them all year round. What's that? You mean the...
There's very few people that even know anything about the Mikdash.
Right.
In general.
You don't know about the Mikdash Hamata either.
Yeah.
Is it significant where Pesukim is taking it from? Like, they have a whole, we see them down here, they explain, like, it comes from a reverse order from the third parak and from the fourth parallel, they explain, like...
Well, I mean the structure, yeah.
Is that like the whole... Does that shed light on the idea that
he's... I don't think so. I think it's just part of his abilities. So.
One said that the real Kena started from Chazar Shmon Esrei.
From where?
The Chazar Shmon.
No, that's where it really started, but it took it out. They used to have in every... Which old one?
Yeah, this is a terrible... Roosevelt one. The Roosevelt book. Yeah, it's in there.
This one?
Yeah, that one. The old one
has it.
He starts from the beginning.
Yeah. And he goes to the side,
goes to
the Echa. Anyway, have it there? Yeah. Yeah, apparently what the Yel was, that the Lefnei Hashem on Tisha B'Av is not in Tefillah. It was Sasam Tefillah. But it's in Kinas. So then it's after Kinnistat. Yeah, very interesting. In other words, you need the Kinnis in order to approach a Kodesh Baruch.
So how do they do that?
So they put the Kinnis in the Tefillah, in every Baruch. What? No, is it Chazar Shatz or... Chazar Shatz. I think it's Chazar Shatz. That was the original way. Okay, let's say we'll Zavten Ufonai Mehem Nepachu Forganti Vehilalti Umeya Velibi Nishpachu Echos Sefrati Mirai Mara Shasai Shlihu. That's clear. Let's see. Echa tefati marasha saye shlichu. Let's see if we can work all around. Said that the kinos has is on two levels. That one level is the level of the way we perceive it, and the suffering that we go through because of our perception. And the second way is the recognition of an absolute, of a tzidik adin. Really, in the echo itself, so in a sense it's like a dialogue. In a sense it's like a dialogue with yourself. That you speak in two frameworks. But that it's interesting that idea is found in Echo itself. Just let me see. Hello. because that's not in favor of us. So Rashi says, Chazal say, Ruach HaKodesh Meshevas. Ruach HaKodesh answers, you're complaining about that. What about a Mi'arg B'Migdash Hashem Kohen V'Navi? So Mi'arg B'Migdash Hashem Kohen V'Navi is the reality, and the first part of the pasuk is really the complaint based upon our perception of the Chorban. So you see, you have it like, it's almost like a dialogue. Like in the same pasuk, you have the both the expressions. Okay, Eicha Tefarti Merasho Sayeshlichu. Tess. So what's his question?
Why the
pasuk
do that?
What?
Are you explaining why the pasuk does that?
Yeah, I'm explaining why the pasuk does that. In other words, to show that it's really a demonstration for the whole Eicha. That the whole Eicha is really an up and back. It's a dialogue. That Eicha is really a dialogue between the person and himself. On the one hand, he expresses it in terms which are his own terms, human terms. On the other hand, he also knows that the truth is that it's justified. So that pasuk really expresses it more than any other pasuk.
Where is that
pasuk? Pasuk is in Perek Beis, pasuk Chaf. In Megillas Eicha.
Where is
Hashem v'abita l'mi al
altako. Is that conflict resolved in Eicha, or is it just remains like as a machlokes?
It remains that way. It remains that way, because we can't... For us, the hest upon him is too powerful. Mm. We can't be... We mazik the din, but we can't really mazik the din emotionally. So, Eicha Sefati Merasho Sayeshlichu. How is it that they threw out, the Klal Yisrael threw out the Teferis Hashem? Teferis. And they put a tzelem in the Mikdash. B'chalon t'nai asher chozainim lochu. V'noam im b'chukosai telechu. So what is he revealing here? Tzelem in the Eichel is a terrible thing. I mean, you don't have to say anything more about it. But what is it going to lose in B'chukosai Telechu? B'chukosai Telechu is more than it means all the chukim, mishmatim mitzvosai. What is it going to do with this?
Yeah, but it's also the pre-warned. They were forewarned.
The what?
In other words, they were forewarned in that parasha of the consequences of the behavior. Those are the brothers. That's where the kolos are.
Right.
That's the tochacha.
Yeah, that's the tochacha. It's true.
So it wasn't as if they could possibly.
You mean the city? He's justifying it.
It also refers to the
blindness of the people,
their behavior.
That's true, but I think there's something subtle here. He says, "Hey, echot tefratim arashos hayashlichu." So they put a tzelem in the mikdash. B'chalom tnai ashechozai nimlochu. That they were machal the tnai that the chozai, the neviim, always mentioned. And what did the Neviim always mention? One thing, the Avodah Zarah. So that the Derech Avodah Zarah is really really what uproots the whole Klal Yisrael. So what he's saying is, in b'chukosai telecho means once you have a tzelem in the Mikdash, even if you don't serve the tzelem, but the idea you're going in Derech Avodah Zarah, that the whole Derech HaTorah is afko of the Derech Avodah Zarah. So the moment the tzelem is there, then it means that you're bringing in that element. That element that's impossible to serve God. Then there's no B'chukosai Telecho. B'chukosai Telecho has to be removed from all aspects of Avodah Zarah. So he says that that's where the chet is. So Yadus is the one religion that recognizes that the Avodah Zarah is the seed of all evil. And it's a whole approach and it's a whole way of life, and it can permeate every aspect of human existence. So that's what he's saying. The Teferis was removed. The Teferis was removed, and Hamidut Selim Behechol, and the Mechal, the Tanai, and the Tanai was that it should be completely removed from any traces of Avodah Zarah. What does Paz say that what Rashi mentions in a few places? If you'll be over all the mitzvahs. So Rashi says that means Avodah Zarah, because that's school of Kinect all the mitzvahs. Okay? Lomos arivu elai kulchem, chosku elai devrecham. Miyetchem hoisazos lachem. So that's, I guess that goes with the previous stanza. That's miyetchem hoisazos lachem, because you did it yourself, you warned, you did it yourself. And it was Chosko like the Vrechem because it's Avodah Zarah. It's Avodah Zarah. It removes the Muchakos HaTelecho. You can't possibly be doing anything in the manner of Muchakos HaTelecho where there is a Shemetz Avodah Zarah. Okay. Bila Shoftai B'moetzos Ivsam. Uponim histir mehem kishur avososon. Vayumar lo'ovok mitram. La'avison. Chelef anasati gishmecham di'itam. Guess what does this mean? Talking about something else. He's not talking about Avodah Zarah here. He's talking about Ivus Mishpat, right? So once there was Ivus Mishpat, so there was Hest upon him. There was Hest upon him. Ufonim histi mehem kishor avasasam. Vayumar lo'ovok mitrum la'avisam. Chelef anasati gishmechem b'itam. That's strange, because now it seems, sounds like he's doing it intentionally. Vayumar lo'ovok mitrum. Lavisam is, he's doing it in order to awaken them, to scare them. So it's not panafista man. So apparently it means that there was a time before that just because they left justice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't abandon them right away. But he warned them, and just like it says, "V'nasati gishmechem b'itam," so that's a siman bracha. So then the "V'nasati gishmechem b'itam" is a siman bracha, and it's a recognition of the fact that you're going in the right derech. So he also used that same method to show that they were going in the wrong derech. Give them a chance to be chos b'tshuva. But in the end, since they didn't change and they didn't remove themselves from injustice, so here was Master Ponemayam. Schiumo Samani, Kila Va'apo Vayistameni, Nichumov Mehera Yishashoni. So Ivus Mishpat, he ties the Ivus Mishpat to the Schiu Maas. Because Ivus Mishpat. The Ivus Mishpat is results in the kill of Apo Yistamani. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Melech Ha'etz stuck on Mishpat and he's Sonei Avla. He's a Sonei Avla. So since he's a Sonei Avla, so it placed us in a state of a Yistamani. So a Yistamani, so that's why we resolved, we had Sriya Maros. But what is Nechum of Meheri Yishashoni?
Sort of
strange,
it's not
the type of phrase you would expect here.
Right.
But
the maybe it means like this, that I see the Mishpat Ipada, Peshaver B'Tztaka. So the Nechumim, you see this, by Ivus Mishpat is a terrible thing, but Ivus Mishpat is a different way to come about, to get out of Ivus Mishpat, because the many psukim in Mo'afti Torah Secha, Zmiros Haili Chukecha and Inlo Sarascha Shashui. So there's a Shiashua, there's a beauty to the Mishpat Hashem and to the ideas. So what does the other part say? And the Chamadim Mizav Musuk Mavashnov Ishtufim Gamavtachan is Abraham. So the Mishpat Hashem has a beauty to it. So therefore, there's a way to come back to Mishpat Hashem through appreciating the beauty, the Shiashuim, the beauty of it. So that's why only over here you have that, what Bernie mentioned, that only over here you have that, because over here you can come back with the Nechumim through the Shiashuim, through the special quality that the Torah has of its beauty. So Ivus Mishpat is different than Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is Lama Sariva La Kulchem Chosko La Devrechem. That's it. V'yetchem Oisus Aslachem. There's nothing to talk about. But Ivus Mishpat, as bad as it is, as bad as a Kadosh Baruch Hu Sone Avla, but the fact is that there is a way to get back, and that is through the quality of the Torah. The Torah has that quality of beauty in Shashuim. In its laws, built into the laws. So when a person learns a Gemara, it's not just that he's learning halacha, but there's a certain beauty there. And that beauty draws on him, pulls him. As Chazal says, Amor Sheba Marzio Lamutav. The Mor Sheba, the light of the Torah, Marzio Lamutav. So he's expressing that idea, that Nechum of Meheri Yishashuni, that I should come out of my injustice through his Torah. You should be menachem me through the. That's when I'll get fine nechumen.
Is there a transition between the first paragraph and the second? That the first one deals with the Avodah Zarah and the second deals with the Mishpat.
Well, first is the Navi. That's the Navi. The Navi is first of Avodah Zarah and then Mishpat. That's the entire Navi, basically. The two chatayim that the Navi points out is Avodah Zarah and Mishpat. The two avos. But he distinguishes between the two. One is One is harder to overcome. Therefore, the Zohar is harder.
Right?
Yeah.
So in the, at the end of Haftarah Chazon, it says, Siyam v'mishpat tibada, v'shuvah bitztaka.
Right.
So why is it pick mishpat and staka, not, not like about the Zohar, or like, you know, like rejection of the Zohar is the thing that's going to be... There's two...
You know, why it doesn't say? Good question. But the I think Chazon is talking about Mishpat, isn't it? Chazon, I don't think, talks about it.
It does, like,
Mipikei
Sos
Miyad Chan. Yeah, but that's right. But why? Because the... because it's Chazon is Musar on Mishpat. I don't think I mentioned it about that. Chavar Ganovim, Kula of Shochad, Rada of Shamonim.
And Yechanam is just that's the Chet it's referring
to. That's the Chet it's referring to. That's the Chet it's referring to.
It's really both. Really both things.
Both, need both things. Need both things.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What were we saying about Vayumar? And it seemed like it's more than just Hestaphonic?
Yes. Because this is La Vison.
What do you mean that it's more than Hestaphonic?
It sounds like it was intentional by God.
Are they related? Like, is it? Do you have like from serving with desire but still being just, or is that like do you have mishpah without? Is that like the idea of Hashem without justice?
No, you can't. But it still is a separate thing. It still is a. Still doesn't necessarily mean that everybody that's not just is over the Avodah Zarah. I mean, there is a connection, but it's on the higher metaphysical connection.
No, but when you say Siyam B'Mishpat Tipadah, the presumption is there's no Avodah Zarah.
Right, the presumption is
otherwise you can't have Mishpat.
That's right. But even though there's no Avodah Zarah, it's not going to be redeemed.
Yeah.
Only going to be redeemed with Mishpat. All right, let's say a little more. Different challenge where the person is caused by fears, by gives into primitive fears, and he posits a certain reality because he has a reason to. I mean, there's different. It's a deeper thing. I mean, the beauty of Yichud Hashem is not going to draw him away. He has to first remove himself from Avodah Zarah. It's a need, like by Moshe Rabbeinu, where Kizei Shmosha Shalom Hashem Lo Yadana Mohayelo. So they needed somebody. So they had to make the ego. And it's giving into a certain need, a psychological need. So that's a very powerful force. So that's why that beauty of the Yichud Hashem is not going to get him. I mean, he's not going to get there. He's blocked. It's a different sign. I think the same thing is with Arias. That the beauty of the halachas and Arias is not going to stop the guy from being over Arias. I mean, it'll, in B'shas, when he's, what is the Maisa over there with the mayor of Yekiva?
Yeah.
So, see, that's the Yetzer. A different kind of Yetzirah. The Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah and Arias, I think, are the Chazal equate. They're like forces, internal forces. But Mishpat and corruption, that's not the same kind of thing. It's not the same kind of thing. It's a different psychological thing. Yeah.
What would be the next point in the Torah? How do we live in the Avodah Zarah?
will be the method?
If we don't have an obvious telling, you know, anymore, so what's the, how do you recommend it?
Question is having as a method. I mean, the only method a person can use is to recognize those traits in himself and realize that they're false, and that they and try to uproot them. Because there are many different superstitions and all these different traits. So a person has to recognize those things in themselves and see that rationally they're not true, and remove their energy from those sources and to apply it to the reality. Insofar as a person can do that. But I mean, it's a process of working on the self. But that's different than mishpat. Mishpat is something else. Mishpat is greed. Greed is a different kind of a thing. The other person can see that there's a beauty in a system. And as a matter of fact, I mean, the whole Plato is to show the beauty of the beauty of justice. There's a beauty and an order to it. So when a person sees a beauty of justice, so he could remove himself from the from his mundane. The good that he perceives as the mundane good. But taiva, like arayas, is a powerful force. That's not going to... it is true, Bishai, when a person is learning, he reduces the taiva, but when he stops, then it's back there. It's not going to... he has to simply confront it in a different manner. That's why he separates between those two things, avodah zarah and mishpat.
We used to have a taiva for avodah zarah.
Still do.
There it is. I mean, it's not like there's a medrash that I think a Tana or Amora said was questioning Menashe, and he came to him in a dream and he said, "If you were in my time, you would grab onto my coattails to go do avodah zarah."
Great, that's primitive avodah zarah, but today it's more sophisticated. I mean, you see, Christianity is not very well. All right, boys, we've got to read some tennis. Right. Well, the thing was that he thought that the door, he got rid of all the avodah zarah. So he thought that the door reached the level of the brachos. And in the brachas it says, "V'cherav osav abatzkan afil l'cherav shel shalom." So he thought that, so he didn't want them to go through the land. But Yeshayahu told him that, was Yeshayahu Yirmiyahu told him that Yirmiyahu told him that it's not true. That he didn't really remove the avodah zarah from the hidden spots. So, but he refused to accept that. So what type of a chait was it? That's what you're asking.
So he disobeyed the Navi.
Disobeyed the Navi.
But the Kina seems to also attribute his punishment to the fact that he would the chait of the door.
Yeah, right. Because it was the chait of the door, but the fact was he didn't want to recognize them. He didn't want to recognize that there was still chait there. He wanted to feel the accomplished removal of Avodah Zarah. No, the chait of Lotzani, what it means is that the chait of Lotzani Ador got him. Because they were the cause of his downfall. He thought he removed all the Avodah Zarah, but he didn't remove it clandestinely. So what was his chait basically? I mean, if you want to... I think we spoke about this a few times, huh?
Yeah.
What did we say, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
He didn't realize that to understand the Avodah Zarah truly, you need a Navi. He thought
So you could evaluate it on the own. If there was no,
that's true. That's true. But that's true. Also, see, he didn't. Yeah, what?
He had too much. He was overzealous.
Right.
Even being overzealous against the Bozara could be cause downfall.
Right. He didn't recognize how deeply the Chedis belay part of him. And he secured means of removing the physical Avodah Zarah. But apparently he didn't work hard enough on removing the Avodah Zarah from the way of Adam. He didn't recognize the depth of it. And that's why he was fooled.
So it was the method that he used that was wrong?
Well, it was a lack of Chachmah. Because you see, there's a Nekina, I mean, Yirmiyahu was Bukana on him, he was a big tzaddik. It wasn't Stame. It wasn't some in Russia. But it's apparently... What?
He says, Davatau Chedi,
but right. It means it attached itself to him, and he got destroyed. The Chet, their Chet attached itself to him. It doesn't mean he had the Chet. It means their Chet attached itself to him, and he suffered. It's like a muscle, like it attached itself to his clothing. This chait attached itself to him.
What's it trying to tell you?
It's trying.
What's the point he's trying to make when he says that?
The point is that he misassessed what's on the door. He misassessed what's on the door but apparently it has to do with his approach. He was a tzaddik and he wanted. He had the greatest intentions to remove Avodah Zarah, but he didn't understand it well enough to know how to. Really put it into place a program that obliterates it from the bottom up. So he thought he succeeded, but in fact he didn't. He wanted to be zochet to the brachas. You see, a melech has aspirations, and he wanted to be zochet to. It could be that that blinded him too. That his desire to be zochet to the brachas. And to really put the Klal Yisrael in the proper derech, that desire itself was something that blinded him. Played a role in blinding him. But it's hard to know. We always want to see black and white, the guy did a chet. But it's not so simple. I mean, the person is very complex. And you see, Vayikon Yomiyar El Yoshio, he was a tzaddik, and he was a Mashiach Hashem. And nevertheless, it's unfortunately, he was a chote. But it doesn't take away from his tzitzkis. And the nature of his chait, we don't know. I mean, we just know peripherally. But we don't really understand, what went on inside him. But it's not necessary. That's kina. For a person like that, you're Makani.
Would you be able to make the inference to say that it demonstrated a lack of an appreciation of the evil of Avodah Zarah?
Could be. Yeah, it could be. It could be a lot of things. But the point is that I think the chiddush here is that a person that is trying to go on the right derech and he misses it because of a lack of knowledge or a minor misdeed, that person is still a tzaddik and it's still a tragedy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just say blame him for it and that's it.
He still has
godless Adam. But come in Yemiel Yoshio.
So why is it part Kinnis?
He was a tzaddik. What?
Why is it part Kinnis?
Rashi is why he brings in the Kinnis. He was brought in the Kinnis because it's. Rashi mentions, I forgot.
Fourth
paragraph of Echa is on Yom Yom. Vayikon Yom Yom.
For
Yoshio.
Yeah.
Echa Yom.
Yeah. Why does he call them Leit Sanei Hador? Isn't that like a...
It's a good question.
Not really. It's not like a little bizarre or suspicious.
I call him Litzani Ador. Leitzoni Ador would imply that they, not only that they did it privately, but they would ridicule, they would laugh at the abolition of Avodah Zarah. They'd laugh at Yoshio. So maybe what he means to say is that had they really done it privately but not gotten any further than in a Hanami, maybe he would have been justified. But the Leitzoni Ador would ridicule the abolition of Avodah Zarah. That has an effect on people, and he apparently didn't recognize that. Because they never said that openly, they went against him. But from the Latsanas, he could see that they're tied to him. They made Latsanas on the fact that he removed the Avodah Zarah. So they should have been able to see through that there's a deeper trend there. Maybe they even are practicing Avodah Zarah.
There's Latsanas about it.
And it shows you that the Avodah Zarah is such a deeply rooted thing that the person has to defend himself with the Latsanas. Can't just be neutral. Because it's too much of a conflict for him. So he has to, the Latsanas relieves him. Okay. All right. It's a horrible story. We kept on shechting and shechting until we don't stop. But, I mean, it's like the Holocaust, that story. But, I mean, I guess what are Chazal trying to convey with that? I guess they're trying to convey the idea that once there's Hester Panim, that there's no end. But it's interesting, it did stop because when he said, Acholat Osul Asheris Hashiv, he was a little crazy. I mean, he thought it's his job to redeem the, to avenge the Dam, the Muzara Dam. So he took it upon himself to avenge the Dam. So that's why he thought he was going to avenge it. He kept killing and killing. And the Dam wouldn't stop because simply it was Hester Panim. There's no reason for it to stop. But then when he said that Akol Atos Ublisheris Hashivya, then it stopped. So apparently what it's trying to show is that the Ashgacha is the Hester Panim is not to be perceived. It is too impossible. But you see that the Ashgacha is that they shouldn't be clear. They shouldn't be clear. That's the Ashgacha. That's the Ashkacha. And that's what we saw in the Holocaust. Same thing. Hest upon him and impossible to comprehend. But not clear. I mean, it could have been clear. If Heisenberg would have worked out the bomb, that would have been the end. And one physicist said that in 1934, when they were... there was a demonstration in Rome, and it would have been possible to see the chain of nuclear reactions that would be responsible for the bomb. He said, the physicist said, God clouded our eyes and we couldn't see it. But Heisenberg was the one that was supposed to be the best suited for working out the bomb. He didn't get anywhere near it. Had Germany gotten the bomb, that would have been the end of the world. But that's clear. Clear is not absent from the Ashkach. That's what I think the Chazal is saying.
Was there Ashkach to make the blood vile? Is that literal? Like, what's that? What happened?
That's a good question. I was thinking of that.
Sounds like
there was Ashkach to start.
Yeah. Blood doesn't just boil.
Right. That's a good question. apparently the hashgacha was for that event. But that's it.
What do you mean for that event?
For the event of the Lurch of Oil.
Right, I understand. That didn't stop it.
But didn't stop it, right. Yeah. Okay, what's next? The one we love, Tzion.